want to thank everyone for tuning into an all-new issue of Geek in the City Radio, and thank you for continuing to share the show with your friends and, you know, coworkers, wherever you happen to know enjoys podcasts. While you're sharing it, if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, where our show originates from, anywhere that you can give us a 5-star rating would be appreciated. It helps us climb up the metrics and be able to bring more content to you. And if you've always wondered, hey, what do they look like while recording the show? Well, for almost a year now, we have been streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/geekinthecity. You can interact with fellow listeners. You can interact with us. You know what? We just have a great time every week hanging out and being, you know, just the nerds that we are. And we all have a lot of fun. We would love you to join us. twitch.com/geekinthecity. As always, the podcast will always be free, and let's get it started right now.
You don't have to buy a webcam right now.
I'm not trying to buy a webcam. I'm trying to fix my webcam so you guys can stop grousing about it.
I grouse about mine too.
but I can't do anything about that. I can only do about mine.
Hello and welcome to issue 703 of Geek in the City Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Duran.
I'm your other off-color host, Beanerita.
And I am your other ecru host, Cable Hashitani.
Look, we're all just one different shade of the rainbow, thanks to all our different cameras. I'm slightly gray with a touch of, you know, fuchsia. Who knows why? Denise is, you're just green.
I don't feel like I look green. This looks like my normal color to me. Although I do know that the color is not real because that's not the color of the walls.
Yeah.
That's the color of the walls. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's real. It's her now.
Yeah, lean this way.
Should I be more pink? Oh my God, why is your camera so far away? See, this makes me look gray and washed out. A little bit of warm light is good for you, friends.
All right, this is warm light.
Yeah, well, watch me switch this to warm, and I'll turn into, I look like an alcoholic face.
Hi! You know, maybe it's just your face. I can't help you with that.
That's what I needed to hear today.
I feel like he's been saying that for months.
And I've been fighting him on that, so I give in. I give in.
What? I don't even know what's going on anymore.
We're doing a show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about fucking Star Trek and Barbie. And tea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doesn't be in that order, but that's what we're things. Doing. Norm, I'm not going to do tech support live on the show. Trust me, I have done all of those things.
All of the questions that any of the chat is going to ask,
we have
done. We have already gone through this.
Pretty much every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the past year.
Yeah.
This is our opening banter. We just kind of let it into the opening of the show a little bit today.
Right. It's like I wanted to get like one of the Amazon Echo Studios because it's good sound for where I live. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to have it all synced. I don't know. I just want to be nerdy with it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Like, I have a Fire TV. Like, it's literally the same technology. They don't communicate with each other.
Of course not.
The echo sound, like you'll be watching a movie or whatever, and all of a sudden it just stops making sound. The shows keep playing. So I called, you know, I let their tech support know, and it's like the same thing, you know. Well, what's it doing? I said, it's not doing anything. Were you connected to this? Yes. Have you tried? Yes. And I like to where, like, this last time I talked to him, I said, I just want to start off right now by saying, like, everything you're going to ask me, I've done. Also, I work like production boards. Like, I know these things. What's it doing now? Nothing.
Just sitting there like a
literally lump. Doing nothing.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, what's it? Is there a color on the echo? I said, well, yeah, it's a red ring. Oh, you've hit mute, which maybe is, I said, you told me to hit the mute button. Remember the mic button? Oh, yeah. So that's not it either. We found out what it was, and then we'll get to the show, I promise. So apparently...
This is the show.
Yeah, okay. So apparently all Alexa products require
Wi-Fi that works on 2.5 hertz, not 5. I don't know what it is. It's a type of band that only Alexa works on it correctly. Nowhere on their site does it ever say it requires that.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And almost every modern internet system is doing this 5 hertz. If you get lucky, you have one that can swap back and forth when needed. Mine does not.
So this gets into the same kind of bullshit that companies have decided what the standard is going to be.
Yeah.
And then they don't bother telling you. Like, I had to learn this from Instagram, which it was a TikTok reel. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Whatever. Like, I just assume that I am getting old and I have hard hearing and I just turn the TV up louder every time we want to watch a thing because it feels like every time, especially when we're watching Netflix, I can hear the explosions just fine. But everyone is talking about this. They're really quiet.
Yeah.
And they're like, go to audio. And if it says it is playing in 5.1 and you don't have a 5.1 surround system with a subwoofer, that's not playing properly. Just right. Set it to audio standard. And we did that, and now it plays fine. And I can hear everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't tell you that that is not the standard playback speed that Netflix defaults to.
Yeah.
I feel like I almost read something about this. I don't think I read the whole thing, but it was like, there's a reason everyone uses captions nowadays, not just you, and it's Netflix's fault.
Yeah.
So, well, and also a lot of, especially modern blockbuster movies, they are recut. Like, the sound editing is done badly because they want you to only have the theater experience, which highlights explosions and effects and stuff, so that when you're watching it at home, they don't retweak the audio for the home. It's still
broadcast television does. There are standards and regulations for how to provide the audio to your television, and Netflix doesn't do that. None of the streamers do that.
All of your TVs will default to motion blurring, which you should immediately turn the fuck off. It is only good for live sports.
Hmm.
You know, people talk about how like they're you know, modern movies look like they're out of sync. Why does it look like shit? All this. It's because of motion blurring. And every TV defaults to it being on. So just find it in your settings. Turn it off.
Yep.
It's very frustrating.
It's almost as if these things should be regulated.
What? Well, it's like whenever you would watch Star Wars, even like the newest ones, and you see that like every bit of technology uses some different interface, and we all love to make fun of it. Like the fact that like the Empire has like 5 different versions of like SD cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, that's so dumb. Why do they do that in Star Wars? I know it's just for props and stuff. We would never do that here.
We do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 different types of USB.
Mm-hmm. 4.
Why? There's no reason for it. I'm sure there's someone like, you know, Thomas Gill's going to write me. Well, the reason why is back in 1992 when they were first up. That's great. Great. When it first started, fantastic. But it's 2023.
Mm-hmm. The people who are in charge of regulating these things are slow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the Apple Lightning plug. Fuck that thing.
Ugh, I hate that thing.
Stupid. Yes. Well, they're being forced to get rid of it in Europe, which means they'll change it here too, the USB-C.
I won't get into why, but I had to get a bag together I threw in a MacBook and an iPad, and I also needed some headphones, and then I needed a charger for the headphones, and I needed to make sure that the headphones are either wireless connect or the tablet. That iPad is, you know, like they only give you one hole now.
Yeah.
Good luck if you want to listen to something without Bluetooth and you're low on battery. You can't do both.
You can't.
There's one hole for everything. You're a goddamn chicken. One hole for everything.
Oh, okay.
Like a chicken.
Right, okay. Everything comes out of one hole on a chicken. Not counting its mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, all three functions. One whole. Okay. you're welcome for that. Anyway, modern tablets often, I guess modern iPads anyway, you only get one port, and that's for charging. That's for if you have a wired headphones, what have you. Yep, Cloaca. Anyway, and then I'm like, okay, and a phone charger and a laptop charger. And so I'm like, okay, now I have to like look at all of these devices and figure out who needs what and just show up with like a pile of cords and plugs because everything needs something a little bit different. And that's all within one ecosystem of brand products.
Right. So Ryan mentioned, yeah, I get it. No, he's right. There's no reason to change the plug. I get as speeds increase, you need a new cable. That's fine. I get that. There's no reason to have like four different types of like plugs at the end.
Nope.
The connector didn't need to change, just the wires inside the cords.
Yeah, how much power it can do.
Mm. Why did it change? Capitalism.
I do like a USB-C though. You're never gonna put it in the wrong way.
Nope. It's man, Cable and I are behaving so well. All this talk of like only having one hole, putting it in right.
Just going to keep lobbing it at you guys break.
Nope. We're trying to be good, good people. So, just like the crew of the Starship Enterprise.
Yes.
Is that a segue we can do?
That's a segue.
Good. Get me out of talking holes.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the tea room.
Do that.
Because that also leads into something else we did on Saturday that we can also talk about before we get into all the shows and the movies.
The shit did we do on Saturday?
Really? Anyway.
My memory, I think, is getting worse.
That's probably true. I will remind you when we get there. So, okay. What I wanted to talk about, my friend Scout and her wife Caitlin was in town this weekend. And Scout and I had matching Starfleet uniforms.
Mm-hmm,
They're specifically the Enterprise uniforms from second season Discovery.
Okay.
But we've never had an opportunity to wear them together.
Oh, cool.
So she came into town. It's like, bring your uniform. Whatever we go do, we'll just go out in uniform. And then I found, apparently for the third time, because Merrick, every time I'm like, oh, there's this tea room that's this. She's like, you know, this is the third time you've told me about this. It's like,
I do the same thing too.
I don't remember any of these conversations. She's like, yeah, I know. Like, okay. Anyway. There, in the Kenton neighborhood of Portland, there's Emperor Giorgio's Tea Room. This used to be Lovejoy's Tea Room, and it was located on Killingsworth in the Concordia neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a new location, they moved to Kenton, and they decided they didn't want to continue to be a colonist tea room.
They also got some shit about it. A little bit.
Yeah.
Because Portland going to Portland.
Yeah.
I'm Portland's sorry. Portland. I've already lost it. What was it? What did they used to be called?
Lovejoy's.
Okay.
Which is a chain. It's out of San Francisco, I think.
Not for the local Lovejoy?
No.
Okay.
Not Asia Lovejoy. Which is the person.
I gathered.
Okay. The owner's name are Brendan and Wellington. And they have a chosen last name of Giorgio. So that's how they're able to call it Emperor Giorgio's Tea Room.
Nice.
Legally cool. Distinct. Right. Anyway, found out that this was a thing. They have a reservation system. You can order a whole service. And you just go and you have some lovely tea and snack on some no, not Ada Lovelace. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Asia Lovejoy. You don't live here. Ryan, what are you doing to me?
The reason why we're called Portland is because of Lovejoy.
Yes.
Because that's what he wanted on the coin flip.
Yep.
Who was the other person fighting him? Cooch?
No, I think it was Skidmore.
Ah.
No. Anyway, he wanted
to I be think bought. She's right. I think it was Cooch.
I'll look it up.
But the other name was that they wanted was Boston.
Yeah.
So we would have been Boston,
Oregon. We were almost Boston, Oregon.
Gross.
Yeah.
The coin is in the lobby of the Oregon Historical.
Oh, it was neither.
Neither. It was Francis Pettigrove.
That's right. You should have known that by now.
And
it's backwards. Francis Pettigrove of Portland, Maine versus Asa Lovejoy of Boston.
Okay.
Mass.
Yep.
There we go. We had the Lovejoy part right.
Yep. Anyway, so they renamed the place Emperor Giorgio's Tea Room and went with a Star Trek Discovery theme. Like, there's this huge, lovely mural on the wall that includes Michael Burnham in the middle with the USS Shenzo, the USS Discovery, and the, yeah, that. And up there in the corner, that's the Emperor's flagship, Emperor Giorgio's.
This doesn't open.
No, it doesn't open today.
But I learned about this place ages ago. And then promptly forgot. And in fact, I didn't catch it until the second time I looked at your picture. I don't know why I needed to go back. Maybe it was because in the back of my head, I was like, wait a minute.
Mm,
yeah. It finally clicked where you had taken the picture.
Yeah.
So very excited. I was very excited for you.
It's a lovely tea room. I encourage anyone who is a Trekkie in the Portland area to venture out there. You don't even need to drive. Just take the yellow line. Mm. Take the yellow line out to Paul Bunyan and get off, and it's like two blocks away. Like, I'm dead serious.
Nice.
So
that's not far from me then.
Yeah, it's real easy to get to. They're open Wednesday through Sunday. This is not a paid ad. I just enjoyed the experience. The owners were lovely people. The folks that were doing the service were lovely people. It was great tea, great food, all vegetarian. They can also do complete vegan and other dairy-free options if need be. But
cool.
Had crumpets with lemon curd and butter.
Did you pick one of the menu, like, tea services, or did you just kind of go à la carte?
There is no à la carte.
Okay.
You either pick the Giorgio, the Burnham, or the Uhura service.
Right.
The Giorgio is mostly crumpets and a sweet, and then a pot of tea. The Burnham service is more of a lunch because there's a vegetable sandwich, scones, and a couple sweet treats. Like, we had a cookie and a tart. Really tasty. And then the Uhura is like this full, it's like everything on their menu. So it's
excellent.
Really pretty good.
Yeah.
Merrick was better at eavesdropping than I was. She's always better at eavesdropping than I am. And she heard one of the owners talking to a table next to us, and all she heard was Trek in the Park, and like out of nowhere I hear.
Nice.
So I'm starting to pay attention now. I ended up going and talking to them afterwards. I just kind of walked up. I'm like, hi. I told one of the servers, like, hi, I wanted to see if I could talk to the owners real quick. I'm a member of Trek in the Park, and they were gone, and they came back with the order. And they were like, don't go anywhere. Whoosh, gone.
Nice.
They're like, you were in Trek in the Park? Like, yep. So we got to talking. They've been reached out to by the Dana Thompson Memorial Fund of Awesome.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
So they just haven't had a chance to get back to them yet, but they do want to do something with them. So they also want to do something for Trek Day, which is in September.
Trek Day.
Star Trek Day. Star Trek Day is in September.
You know, the one where they do all the live streaming and announcements.
I forgot why they picked that day. Was it because it was the day the show
first
debut?
Air. Yeah.
Okay. September 8th.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
First contact day is already spoken for. That's in August. What happened?
Microsoft just being Microsoft.
Oh, okay. But again, I would love to go back there again with y'all. I think we'd have fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do they do the Harry Potter on the other side?
There is no other side.
Okay. There's another tea room there. There's another tea house in town that, like, if you turn, it's Harry Potter themed. But if you look at the other side of the building, it's like something else.
Doctor Who themed?
I think I know what you're talking about, because I get a lot of TikToks from check out this cool new place in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
The actual spot is a boba tea place called Monster or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen videos where people are like, I don't know if it's a paid sponsorship or like an influencer thing, but they're like, check out this new, I've seen the same place advertised as a Harry Potter themed place, as well as a Pokemon themed place, and maybe also like Mario / Nintendo.
Yeah.
The thing is that they've got a lot of shit up on the walls and like cute toys and stuff, lots of pop culture stuff. So really, you could surmise it's anything themed and sell that idea.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And I also can confirm that a certain place that I might work for does actually hire influencers to work to do these things.
Interesting.
It's not a big secret. Like, you literally go to the Travel Portland site and you can scroll down and it says, would you like to create video content? Here's how much we pay. Here's what's required. Apply.
Cool.
Seems pretty upfront.
Yeah, no, it totally is. I have been wanting to check it out. Like, I'm not the biggest tea person. I'm not against tea. I just don't get excited about tea. But I saw some of their non-tea options. It sounded delicious.
Have you ever had Lapsang Soochong as a tea?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Then you're not a fan?
Yeah.
I haven't. Okay. Say more.
Lapsang Soochong is a very smoky tea. I let Scout try it, and she's like, oh, yeah, this is how you like your scotch, too, isn't it? I'm like, oh, yes, actually, it is. So that's why I was asking
you. Yeah, I've had it. It's well enough. It just doesn't, tea just doesn't do it for me.
Sure.
I like oolong tea, milk tea.
That's still tea.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, then I guess I like that one.
Okay.
There's a lot of different kinds of teas.
There are a lot of teas.
Yeah. But that that Black Wolf sounds delicious.
Yeah. I like all teas, yep. So sign me up.
I highly recommend, please use their reservation system. It takes a second to grok what you're doing. But yes, you are saying, I'm this many people. This many people are going to have this service. This many people are going to have this service. You decide what tea you want when you get there. Mm-hmm. They'll take care of you from there. You can also drop in. But
cool. I do want to check it out.
But it is not a la carte. You choose your...
You choose a service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've never been to a tea service.
I haven't either. So now I have. So it was great to have that experience.
You can also do it at the Chinese Gardens and the Japanese Gardens.
I have not had British tea service.
Right.
I've had the others.
Okay.
I haven't had any variety of tea service from any culture.
Depending on the time of the year, the ones you can have at the Japanese gardens are like long.
Mm. Yep. That sounds nice.
Yeah. Not all of them. Some you just grab and go.
You know
me,
I love a long hangout.
One day I want to do their full moon tea service. Like, you have to book it. It usually goes fast because the park closes at a certain time, but I think it's in the autumn when they do it.
Yep.
I think they do an autumn one and a spring one. It's the full moon service.
Who does this? Who puts this
Japanese on? The Japanese American Gardens.
Yeah.
Mm. The Japanese Gardens.
Yeah.
They are the... They have all kinds of recognition from Japan for the amount of work that they have done in those gardens.
Yeah.
Sister cities, right?
We're not sister city just with... What's the one in Japan?
You were going to say Sapporo. It's
Sapporo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it all started because we, like in the however many decades ago, not centuries, we sent them the starters for a rose garden.
Mm.
And then they send over a like people, like whatever, professional like garden designers. Like, who will then live and alter and make sure that it's a proper Japanese garden.
We have shit in the Japanese gardens here in Portland that are things that are not supposed to be taken out of Japan. And Japan has gone, no, give it to Portland.
Yeah.
But no, give it to Portland.
Yeah.
It's fine. They're fine.
It's their government. It's their rules. They can break them if they want, I guess.
It's been delayed because it's not just
their government. It's cultural.
Cultural.
So, it's one of, like, we have, I think we have a Tory from Japan.
Yes.
That's like, you don't fucking move those.
So it's been delayed because of cargo and shipping issues. But so the entrance, the gate that you enter into now is only 280 years old. and it was shipped over. Once all the other red tape happens, like, it's already been approved, but like, there's some other red tape about shipping it and being extra careful. Portland's going to get the only shogunate gate to ever leave Japan. And it's like 480 years old. We will be the only time. It is they don't let them leave Japan. They're sending one over. Yeah, we're going to get one of them.
So it's Otsukimi, the moon viewing festival. It happens in late September.
It is.
But the sale dates go by whether you're in the Golden Crane Society and then members, which I believe Merrick is a member, right?
Merrick is a member.
And then last is ticket sales open to the public. So I would venture to guess that it's hard to get in if you're not already a member.
Yeah. The last big expansion, we can go and show it, but there, because I just got to tour like a month ago for work. They did a huge new expansion. They basically added a larger kitchen and another gallery in like this open courtyard area. And like everything is designed to catch rain. They come off the building. It like the whole thing is always kind of like recycling itself. But there is they had to put in this stone wall and they use the same mortarless rock stacking techniques that feudal Japan castles used. And when it got inspected, because they brought an engineer from Japan, like that's his specialty, because they don't build new ones over there anymore, but they got to maintain them. That's all this dude does. He built that one. And when it got inspected by like the Japanese, like architecture, historical, they were like, yeah, this is the strongest one ever made. Like this wall is going nowhere, like ever.
Yep. So no mortars, just rocks.
Just rocks.
Do they do a lot of napping to make get them to fit together very smoothly?
Not really. Or... part of the practice is to be in harmony with nature, so they just find rocks that fit each other.
That's gonna
and take then the so natural long. Pressure just, yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. it takes a lot of work to like get rocks to stack together well. You're talking about a whole building? It's impressive.
Side note, this is now a field trip that the RPG group has to go on.
Okay. Threaten me with a good time.
We have to.
It's
all,
really cool.
All five of us just need to go up there.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then will we play when we get
there? We'll figure that out.
I don't know why we couldn't.
Well, we'd probably just go down to the amphitheater in the Rose Garden and play.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we got to do it while the weather's still nice.
So that gives us till November.
Yeah.
Climate change. It's going to be 80 in October.
But the rain.
Yeah. Don't you remember last year where it was like a week before Halloween and it was like fucking 88 degrees?
Yeah. It's not going to rain until close to November.
You know, I don't remember.
That's true.
Yes.
I believe you. I believe the both of you.
This is
true. And then... then after the doing that tea service during the day,
now I remember.
Yes.
It was Friday, not Saturday.
Was it? It was Friday.
That's why I'm like, Saturday,
okay, you're right. Friday was my Saturday.
I mean, right. But we should have been able to recall the one day that we spent together this weekend.
Nope. Yeah, so we got to do basically pre-beta testing on a new escape room at Glowing Greens called Fortune Teller.
Yeah.
That has all the fun, like, little toys and technology in it.
What's the name of this one?
Fortune Teller.
Fortune Teller.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also, like, an homage to the owner, Raymond's mom, which is very sweet. Also.
Yeah.
It's incredibly sweet.
And yeah, well done, because it doesn't feel like... it doesn't feel like you're working through... an adventure with a bunch of somebody else's personal stuff. It's all blended together very nicely.
The escape room doesn't involve us trying to solve Raymond's mommy issues.
No. But a lot of his family photos are in there.
Yes.
It is very well done. I love the story that he said that like she's the one that got him into horror when he was a kid. She bought him or helped him buy a hearse for the haunt. It's like that is some feel good father, mother, son stuff going on around haunting and getting this room together. So it was really cool.
No, yeah, that's a great shared interest for them to have had.
Yeah.
And we reap all the benefits.
Yeah. Yes. And it's, yeah, we can go into it more later when it officially goes into like testing beta, but it should be open by September.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
What we can say now is Raymond has been doing the glowing greens and the
mental trap.
And the haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the mental trap thing for a while now. This room has taken a while to get off the ground, but it also gets to have enjoy the benefit of all of this other past experience that that Raymond has. You know, he's got these really great audiovisual effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the puzzle stuff, the immersiveness of the rooms that he built, they just keep getting better and better.
Yep.
All the moving elements. So I'm certain I didn't express this at the time, but like you can really see like Raymond's progression in skill and, you know, like understanding how these things work and like moving the industry forward.
Yeah. And coming from a haunt background, I think helps a lot too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like a lot of people don't think about it. Like any haunt can like get you for a jump scare, but the great haunts have some kind of story involved.
Yes.
You may not think about it, but the really good haunted attractions have a story that we, and you're a part of it once you go into it. And he works a lot of that into like his escape rooms and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never a fan of just one room. All of his escape rooms have multiple rooms you have to get mm-hmm. through.
And even that is something that's not super common even amongst some of the real other really good escape rooms that we know about town.
Mm-hmm.
But just his production value, it just keeps going up and up. And it was not low to begin with.
No.
Because it also doesn't necessarily take that much to make an escape room. I have been to escape rooms that were like an office behind an insurance office in a strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had a couple pieces of furniture, some stuff with some locks, and some pieces of paper with riddles. Is it an hour's worth of like challenges? Yes. But it's also you're very obviously in a business park strip mall situation.
Right.
When you walk into one of Raymond's rooms, the outside world is gone. Yeah. You are in this experience.
Yeah.
And not everyone can boast that.
Right. I
think we've been spoiled by the escape rooms that we go to
that mm-hmm. we have tested and gone to
because the ones that we go to are people who are former haunters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or we're definitely spoiled.
Haunters like, on boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez. Like there's one in Clackamas Town Center that I've never gone to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the end of the mall, like by Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always just like one person on their phone just manning the front.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a group go in. Or like I was like, this place can't be that affordable to rent from.
Right.
There's one, like, that I didn't even realize. There's one, like, off the Les Schwab on Broadway.
Oh, Beck says she's been to that one, the one at Clackamas.
Oh, man. You got to tell us what it's like. You can type in there, you know. It just always seems like, hi, I'm an escape room in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very nice. That's cool.
I went to an escape room in Tacoma once. And it wasn't bad. I'm not saying it was bad, but the production value was just like, I mean, for one, it's in this old like Tacoma train station thing, like mm-hmm. One of those long, you know, so vibes for sure. Mm-hmm. But the whole situation you can tell is just like put up with a bunch of plywood and some paint. And there's not a lot of infrastructure, so there's no lighting, which, you know, like you can arguably say, like, well, that's to help with the challenge or what? No, you just don't have lights.
You just made it dark.
Yeah, you're just inside an old warehouse, basically, that you didn't do that much to.
Right.
You know, it was a good little escape room, but it's when you're like Cable said, like we're kind of spoiled for choice in this town in terms of like a high quality production when it comes to escape rooms.
We enjoy a certain level of privilege. We don't ask for these things, so we and We don't demand them and they're given them, which is where I think spoiled comes into it. Like we're not expecting any of this. This is not an expectation. We recognize our privilege and are very grateful for the fact that.
No, I didn't mean it like that. Yeah. I mean that because we have had the opportunity to experience a lot of like high level production value escape rooms,
our expectations are
above and beyond, I think, the average person. And I think that the same would be true of someone who is an escape room enthusiast. They will, they're going to say, okay, well, this was fine, but like the production value was a little bit underwhelming compared to this one over here or that one over there. You know, like if you do enough escape rooms, if you do enough of anything, you're going to start to recognize like, oh, these guys are killing it and these guys are here.
Right.
That's a great way to put that.
These guys are killing it and these guys exist.
Yeah. Is that too
you
harsh?
Sure are here.
That's
look
a
at
thing.
You. Look at you existing. Bless look your heart. At you.
And I mean, I'm sure every facility is going to get your money at least once. But if you're not bringing it like the other guys are, you're only going to get that money once.
That's true. Yes. So.
Cool.
Quick little side note for folks who live in Portland. You can all do your best, like, Munson laugh here in a minute. But Andy Ngo has lost his lawsuit. But now people are, they found his Venmo and they're like, request $100 losing free from him now.
Oh.
What?
People are now asking that Andy Ngo pay his losing fee to all of, basically, like.
Is that, like, did he set a precedent for that?
No, they're just fucking with him.
Cool.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you can get money out of him, go for it. But, yeah. No.
I didn't know he was doing a lawsuit thing.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't need to follow anything about this guy.
No, it just popped up really quick. And
that's
I was like,
great.
Nice.
That's some wonderful news for a Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we take a little break and then come back and talk Trek and Barbie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the idea of that as a combo. We shall be right back.
Well, this is the perfect spot to take a break and talk about our sponsors. First up, we have got Rev Nat, Reverend Nat's Hard Cider. You already know that, I don't think we mentioned it, but huge shout out to you, the Geek in the City listeners, who helped Rev Nat's Hard Cider be picked as Portland's best cidery in the Best of Willamette Week poll. So give yourself a pat on the back and celebrate by enjoying a tasty adult beverage at Rev Nat's Hard Cider. But you know what? If you don't drink alcohol for whatever reasons or whatever, Nat has you covered. He spent almost 2 years designing and perfecting two NA ciders. These aren't just juice with like herbs in it. They were brewed as regular human ciders, and then through science, the alcohol was removed. Actually, if you follow him on Instagram, he did a lot of Instagram stories breaking down how the process works. Also that folks who do choose not to drink alcohol can enjoy, some tasty ciders. They're very good. He's got two different ones. One's pineapple-based, and then the other one is called Date Night. Both are delicious. You can try them all at his tap room, which is at Southeast 35th and Division. And when you're there, tell them that you heard about this on Geek in the City Radio. It helps a lot. Just like with our next sponsor, Guardian Games, they have been with us since this podcast was just a .blogspot account. That's how long Guardian Games and Geek in the City have been partners. Right now, what has it got going on right now? There's some Bigby's Giants. I'm getting it wrong. For the D&D folks out there, that's coming out soon. Just a lot of great stuff is available at Guardian Games. They have a lot of solo RPGs, which are really interesting, becoming more popular. For those who are 21 and over, you can go back into the bar area and join in on a D&D Adventures League or whatever you want. Guardian Games, the reason why we all love Guardian Games is because they're more than just a store. You can buy D&D anywhere now, even friggin' Target. But we don't go to Target because we go to Guardian Games for the community and the relationship that store has built up over almost 20 years of serving Portland's gamer community, and we hope it continues. So when you're in there, thank them for sponsoring Geek in the City Radio, and thank them for being a special part of the Portland gaming community at large. Let's get back to the show.
Why, hello! I was born ready. Full of rage! Darkness! Where are the other drugs going?
Oh, man. What the?
Is your drink broken?
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. She's on her way.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Denise decided that she'd had enough with our tomfoolery and went, fuck it, I'm out.
And she bounced. She's out.
Yeah.
But she has returned.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Did you guys start without me?
Yes. Well, because the system forces it.
Yeah, okay.
The audio clip is only so long.
Sure, sure. Anyway, what'd I miss?
Nothing.
Nothing.
That literally nothing. It was like us being like, hey, we're back.
Why are you connected to my Bluetooth speaker? Let me turn that off.
Weird.
Oh, shenanigans.
So anyway, Star Trek.
Yeah,
let's jump right in. The number one Star Trek. So, Subspace Rhapsody aired last Thursday, which is the highly anticipated musical episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
I posed the question to both of you when you got here, which, and I'll pose it to the rest of the internet, too. So has everyone else listened obsessively to the soundtrack multiple times since it's aired, or is it just me?
When I am able to, I do. In fact, when I would take a break at work or on my lunch break and I finish early and I just want to go for a walk, I catch myself doing, it's a very specific musical theater strut while you're listening to songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes kind of like all of my willpower to not just start throwing my hands in the air as I'm, you know, singing and dancing.
Left foot, right foot.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right arm. I did feel like that I was able to top out while bouldering this morning with a little more flourish than I normally do.
I loved it. It was so much fun.
I managed to not watch any trailers for this before we watched the episode, and I'm glad that I did not. I went in 100% blind, did not know what to expect.
It was tough. At least one of us is always busy on Thursdays at my house, and so we never get to watch it the night that it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other people have watched it at like 3 a.m. already and are talking about it online, and I'm like, get away from me!
I don't miss Twitter. I don't miss Twitter.
No, even like Google.
Oh.
When you pull up Google and it has like suggested articles and stuff, I'm like, don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even want to have an idea of what's going to happen. But
the ones that put a spoiler in their headline, you're like, what?
Who taught you to write?
Comic Book Resources. Remember when they were like a site that actually covered comics?
CBR?
Yes. CBR.
Mm. I figure more specifically, the problem is that like if you don't actively follow a show,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what is a spoiler and what is just content that you can talk about. At any rate, yes, it was really, really nice to go in blind.
It was, and there's going to be spoilers on this, folks.
Yeah, so
if you haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
Like, it's gotten to where with this cast and production team and writers crew that, like, when they say they're doing this thing, like, I no longer go, like, I hope they can pull it off. Now I'm like, this will be fun to see them do.
Because mm-hmm.
they've stuck the landing every single time they've tried something different. They've stuck the landing every time. And I already saw people like, no, Roddenberry never would have done this. Are you kidding me? If they'd have had the budget and the talent to do this in the 60s, they would have 100% had a musical episode. They would have.
To every old school Star Trek fan who says, this is not my Star Trek. This is not what Star Trek would do. They had a motherfucking Halloween episode where they were being chased around by a cat.
That's right.
There's an episode with fucking space hippies.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Do not come at me with this bullshit that this is not Star Trek.
TNG did a Western.
Yep.
I mean, so did the original series.
Yep.
But yeah, TNG did like A Fistful of Datas.
Mm-hmm.
They did Robin Hood.
Yep. Deep Space Nine played a goddamn game of baseball with Vulcans.
I love it. Find him and kill him. And, you know, Voyager had
Neelix.
I was going to cut the show a break and say Captain Proton.
Yes, they did have Captain Proton. And what God loved Captain Proton.
And what was Janeway's character in that? Lady Tarantula? Or like she was like their version of Ming the Merciless?
Yes, I don't remember.
Enterprise didn't do anything like that, but that's because Berman and Braga are soulless, and they just wanted more shots of Jolene Blaylock's butt cleavage getting oiled up.
I am so glad for those old scientists. The episode giving the Pike's Enterprise crew an opportunity to fanboy over Archer's Enterprise.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That was, I loved that so much. Yeah. It was so simple, and it was two mentions. You know, Erica mentions Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Uhura mentions Hoshi.
Hoshi.
It's like that. That's it. That is all you needed to do, yeah. And it helps cement.
And then, is it Pike's quarters or the conference room where there's the NX refit on the wall?
Oh, I feel like it's in his ready room.
Might be in his ready room.
His ready room is also the conference room. I realized that the other day when I'm like, oh, that's how they did that. It's both rooms.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Good for that.
But yeah, the musical, there isn't really like a plot. I mean, there is. They're inspecting this rift through like time because we're seeing the birth of what's going to become, I think, subspace radio.
Right. It's. What they have found is a naturally occurring subspace fold, which would allow for rebroadcasting of subspace messages faster than the current subspace relay network.
Almost real time in lieu of like weeks that it currently takes.
Yeah.
Which we have seen in the original series where Kirk has sent messages to Starfleet Command going, "Hi, I'm entering the neutral zone chasing after a... Romulan ship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, great, we've sent the message. They should get back to us in a week. Cool.
Let's go now.
Start a war?
Yeah, that's why I have the end of the episode. You know, her is like, Captain, I just heard from Starfleet. They support any decision you make to enter the neutral zone. He's like, great.
Great.
But that's by TNG era, it's instant. Well, even by the TOS movie era, subspace is now instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is where it is, you know.
Yep.
So the overall plot of the episode is this probability field and how it's affecting everyone and the fact that it's expanding.
Yep. Yeah.
But like so much of Strange New Worlds, it's really all about the character development.
Yeah.
And this allowed for a lot of revisiting things that have been brought up at the tail end of season one and at the very beginning of season two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back and examine those two songs sung by Una,
mm-hmm.
which are very tonally different, or musically different songs, mm-hmm. like, they are completely different eras of musicals, but they focus on the changes that she is making to how she comports herself
right.
as an officer. Like, she has made it this far by being one kind of officer and has realized, I need to change how I do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to advise the people around me to also reexamine their approach.
Mm-hmm.
That was so much.
Yeah.
That kind of like closes the loop for her from the beginning of the season mm-hmm. all the way up to those old scientists.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that connects directly to La'an and her shit from like three episodes ago.
Yeah.
Oof, I don't know about closure.
Well, not closure.
It'll be a while, but she's on her way.
Yeah.
It has changed her arc. And we are seeing like, she is great. It is great to have Lan Nguyen Singh be the badass of the ship, mm-hmm. right? But we've got to witness the birth of... We get to see who Lan is going to become at this point. We've now seen who she is by where she's come from.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's with a different crew and has a different stake in life. And mm-hmm. actively wants things to be different. Like her... I love that the episode also showcased who on the show has musical background.
Yes.
Because Christina Chong and Celia Rose Harding, whoa, man, did they ever mm-hmm. get solos.
Yeah, they got the big solos because they also have singing careers. I think Rebecca Romijn has some musical theater experience before she became a model.
Mm-hmm. But she's not a singer like... Sela right. or Christina, but she's great. Like,
they all sounded good. You can tell the ones that probably required more vocal coaching for singing than others.
Sure.
Which is fine. But they also, like, if you watch the Ready Room, like, they talk about how, like, if we're doing a musical episode, we're not phoning it in. We are treating it like a live show.
Yep.
Like, we're going to grind these rehearsals. We have to stick this landing. And I also love that it's not like, it's not an anomaly that's making them singing.
No.
It's an alternate universe where everything is a fucking musical.
Yep.
Is bleeding into our universe. So somewhere out there is the musical universe.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, why not?
Where apparently all Klingons are boy bands. I was not ready for that.
I like that we got the payoff for... Bruce Horak last year, when he talked about the death of Hemmer,
mm-hmm.
he's like, I knew going in, Hemmer's getting killed.
Yeah.
All I asked was for a cool death. They wrote me a fucking awesome death. Like, Hemmer had a great death, full of purpose.
Every actor wants the good death.
Got
on
all
screen.
Kinds of lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I knew this was a one season and done. They're bringing me back for season two, so it'll be great. I'll be something different, you know, but I'll be around. And that this was the payoff that he was the Klingon general.
Yes.
That was fucking awesome.
D7s and the Enterprise as they fly.
Yep. So if you listen, when you go back and rewatch Subspace Rhapsody, listen to his speaking voice and you're like, there it is. I can hear it. I can hear Hemmer's voice as the base of the Klingon general.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Bruce Horak. He's great. I can't wait for him to keep coming back. I want him to be the recurring star of Strange New World.
The Jeffrey Combs of Strange New World.
Yay!
I also want Jeffrey Combs on Strange New World.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I also appreciate that, like, they dealt with, like, story stuff.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't just... like, it's funny, I named this episode Once More with Feeling, which is, a shout out to that Buffy one. And I feel like, I don't know, I always felt like the Buffy one tried too hard to work in story elements, but they were more focused on a wacky musical episode. This one doesn't. This one breaks up Spock and Chapel.
Yeah.
You know, which we knew was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Of course. Maybe. I thought it would be a bit longer.
I think it still will be. I think that there's still going to be, like, bear in mind, we have the season finale to go, and it is
which
the Gorn.
Which is going to be intense.
It's 100% the Gorn. Unless they have...
Oh, Paul, I'd already forgotten about the Gorn situation.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't really talked about it since the first episode.
Yeah, it's why, like, Captain Pike and Captain Patel's last interaction, my gut sank.
Did you watch the clip?
No.
For next week?
I'm not. No, I don't watch the clips for the...
Oh, you don't watch the clips at the end of the Ready Room?
Nope.
I always do.
Mm. I always forget to watch the Ready Room.
But so. I like watching the Ready Room just for the interviews. And I'm good. I don't watch anything.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing I want to say about the Buffy musical. We can critique the Buffy musical for all the things that we want to. as long as everyone recognizes that there would not be a musical episode of any fucking show without Buffy the Musical.
They absolutely set a precedent.
Because it sure shit wasn't cop rock that got people going.
No. But Buffy the Vampire Slayer, God, I would love to have Sarah Michelle Gellar on this show to talk about how influential Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television show, her as an actor, and her character are on modern television.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because modern television does not exist the way it does without Buffy, including current iterations of Star Trek. We would not have the Arrowverse without Buffy.
Yeah.
How's that?
The model of all of those shows.
Connected universe.
The style of acting, the idea that the hero does not have to be a lone gun, that they are surrounded by a team, and each of those people have strengths and weaknesses, and they learn to work together. The line of dialogue in the conference room on the Enterprise where Lon goes, I mean, suddenly we could shift into a reality where we all become bunnies. That is the writers of the show going, we wouldn't be here without Buffy. They have said it. It's like, that was our homage to Once More with Feeling.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd still like to just have Sarah Michelle Gellar on the show, period.
Yeah. there,
I'm shooting my shot.
There you go.
There it is. Right out there in the universe.
I'm so curious now. I'm like, did they always know they wanted to do a musical and they made sure to hire actors, you know, for the main cast who also have singing chops, or they just got lucky? Did some of them have to go through training ahead of this to be ready?
Who let
auto-tune?
I think why we're getting some of these episodes now is that even though Strange New Worlds and all of Star Trek has been incredibly successful for Paramount, it's still being run by essentially like venture capitalists and tech bros. So they never know how long they're going to get. So every season, I think they have to act like, let's act like this is our final season and just go for it every single time.
Which objectively is what makes a thing better. If you're too cognizant of, oh, are they going to like it? Is this going to cost me my job? You tend to pull back and you hold back, right? From your creative potential. But if you're like, if you think like, you know what, could get fired tomorrow, could get canceled next week, so just go for it, man.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for the freedom that one gains when they're not worried about maybe losing their job. If they're just like, if once you get zen with it, you just become a lot more free.
Yep.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't have expected a musical episode out of Discovery, or Picard, for that matter.
No, both are
much too serious.
Very serious shows.
But I also feel there's a seriousness to Strange New Worlds, but there's something about the cast of Strange New Worlds that, while I am full into the characters, like I'm all on board with Pike, Spock, Ortegas, Uhura, Una, everybody. Like, I'm invested in those characters. Simultaneously, I never forget that I am watching Anson Mount and Ethan Peck and Cela Rose Harding. And I'm aware of
Cela Rose Gooding.
Gooding, thank you.
Sure.
I'm aware that they are actors and they have, and their varying interests seem to be on that surface. Like, it's like, oh, you all, like, you've brought this up in character. That means you, the actor, also likes this thing. And like, especially listening to interviews with Christina Chong. Christina Chong and Lan Luni and Singh are wildly different people.
Very different.
Christina Chong has more in common and has said she has more in common with the princess version of her than...
Well, that was her real dog.
That was her real dog. And all she could do all day is like, look at this dress. I'm in a princess dress. This is fantastic. I love this.
This spin, is a pretty magical spin, dress.
I think part of it, too, is the concept of the show is this is humanity's next golden age of exploration. So it creates a tone.
Yeah, it does.
Discovery is always like, we must fix what's been broken.
Right.
We broke it, but now we got to fix it.
Let's fix
Picard has a lot of that, too, or Stranger Worlds, that's not its tone.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have expected a musical episode out of Lower Decks, but it works much better here.
Yeah.
In Strange New Worlds.
I could expect a musical episode out of TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. I wouldn't, I mean, I don't know, like, chronologically where, you know, the Buffy episode lands betwixt all of those things, because, again, that's what sort of started that trend.
TNG was on the air during the Buffy.
Okay.
Buffy was early 90s.
Okay. But so, like, ostensibly, I could not... Let me start over.
Buffy was 97 to 2003.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
I honestly thought it was earlier.
Because I don't have that same context for when each show was on the air... and I never saw Buffy. It doesn't like is this is just purely hypothetical. I would not have been surprised to see a musical episode in any of those other iterations of Star Trek, simply because I think that a lot of them didn't take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. Every single Star Trek has done something weird and silly. And, like, people might scoff at that in retrospect, but they are elements of storytelling that were common at that time when they aired. And no one, right. You know.
Well, yeah. It's like, so years and years ago, I took a screenwriting course when I was in college. And this guy was a showrunner on some shows in the late 70s, all through the 80s. And one of the things he would do is we were to pick a show and write a script for it, like break it like a writer's room, A plot, B plot, the whole thing. And like naturally when it came to me, I was like, well, what if we do a Star Trek episode? And a couple people were like, I don't want to do sci-fi. I don't want to do that. And he stepped in and he said, he's like, here's the funny thing about Star Trek. He's like, yes, it's a spaceship in space in the future. So you immediately think it's a sci-fi show. He's like, it's pitched as a sci-fi show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but for the most part, Trek is a genreless show. Every episode, they just pick what genre they want to do. It just happens to be on a spaceship.
Yep.
You know, and that's something I've always carried with me whenever I heard someone say, like, Trek shouldn't do this. Why not? Ooh. Trek can do any genre. Like, that's one of the points of it,
yep.
Is that it can show anything it wants. You know, it has its own kind of rules, which is fine. For the most part, they stick to them. When they deviate, there's a reason for it. And, you know, this was one of them. And it's good that they acknowledge every cast, every character acknowledges, like, well, this is weird. And I like how Lon's like, yeah, it's also a security risk. And they're like, why? It's just singing. She's like, yeah, when you're emotionally charged and you let secrets out.
Yep.
Hence the really uncomfortable couple fight to song on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, super awkward.
At least he understood her point then.
It's true.
It's like the gun in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The gun?
The gun that lets you see someone else's point of view. And when they shoot Trinity with it. Trillium with it. She says, it won't work on me. I'm already a woman.
Norm was pointing out that it's a tie-in to like 60s musicals.
Yeah, the musicals were huge in the 60s.
But the different songs in the episode are in the style of different eras of musical.
Mm-hmm.
Which I only know because of mm-hmm. Schmickadoon and the subsequent Chicago-themed one. Now I can't think of what it's called. But I'm not super well-versed in musicals because I used to think I didn't like them. It turns out you just have to find the right
era. You have to find the right ones.
You know, and so like Rebecca Romijn's was a very like older classical style.
It was Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sure.
Because that's her thing. That's Una's thing.
Mm-hmm. But La'an's was a very modern style. Yep. Mm-hmm. I would say
the final one is straight up Rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
And then Chapels is I think that is sort of the go-to or becoming the go-to when people want to create a musical episode is to not pick any one particular era or genre of musicals, but to kind of do like one from each noteworthy era. And I think that that's a lot of fun because that way you are able to capture multiple audiences. Like hopefully there's something for everybody if we pick from all of these different ones. If it had all been like a Gilbert and Sullivan style, I probably would have been really bored.
It wouldn't have worked as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other people might have loved it, but not me.
Right. I didn't expect Spock's song to be that emotionally hard for me. I am the X.
So I'm solving for why. I was like, oh, what a fun little double entendre. Yeah, this is depressing.
Because when I first heard him say, like, I am the X, I'm like, that seems like a little heavy-handed for Spock. And then I was like, no, he's the X. Okay, it's a mathematic. Okay,
yep.
It's double. Yep. All right, now it works.
He literally started that off with talking about doing the calculus for this.
Yeah, the first time he says I'm the X, it's preceded by solve for Y.
Right. Yep.
But if you have the captions on, like we were talking about earlier, sometimes the caption would say EX, and other times it would just be a capital X, which I thought was amusing.
I've already heard that when this comes out on Blu-ray, you will have an option for this episode to have the sing-along lyrics pop on the screen, but in like the Strange New Worlds font. So like, I was like, oh, don't tease me and not do this. And then there's like some fun little.
I'm gonna say like the one complaint I have is generally the same complaint I have for most musicals, and I think that's just par for the course. There's not a ton of nuance, or maybe not nuance, but subtext. In the lyrics, it's all very, very, this is the problem. This is how I feel about it. This is what I hope to resolve.
Yeah.
Like very clear cuts. But it's, again, you kind of can't help it when you're trying to like lay down a bunch of expo in a very limited amount of time. And this is one 50-minute episode.
Yeah,
we already know the characters, but you have to tell the whole story in the song. So a lot of the lyrics felt kind of heavy-handed.
But that's all musicals. That's a trapping of the genre. Right, of the style.
And that's what I'm saying. Is like I get that this is sort of how it always is.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of disappointing to me. I'm like, come on.
I don't know if you can do subtlety in a musical.
Are you disappointed because your problems aren't solved in a song?
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, that I am joking around. I am also asking a legitimate question because I have been thinking about this in that is one of the things that I enjoy about musicals, is it allows us to solve problems in a very efficient, melodic manner.
No, I don't think that it's okay. That. Especially when I'm at a time in my life where I don't have such big problems in my life that I'm like, I wish I could solve my things with one song or in a 90-minute, you know, musical. It's just, I don't know. Like I said, I understand that it's, you know, hat in hand with making a musical is you can only have so much subtext and nuance. You're trying to tell a story and it also needs to rhyme and dance. Like there's a lot of elements that have to come together and then you still tell a complete story beginning, middle and end.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I guess, a gripe that I have with all musicals.
That's right.
It's fair.
What were you going to say?
I forgot, but as someone who is still going through a bunch of crap, I do like letting it all hang out. In musicals. That's why almost every musical, even if it's a peppy song, will generally make me tear up because I think it taps emotions that I'm going through. So that's why I'm the X hit me really hard. And then just that final number is so joyous that like the first few times I heard it, I think I was crying because I was so happy. Because I'm like, yay!
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
And it's Star Trek. I mean, that was all the things at once for me.
All of them had me going. La'ans, Spock's, Celia's, Uhura's, and the finale. I am such a sucker for people singing and dancing. It always moves me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, like I was wrong about not liking musicals. I just didn't know the right ones, I guess, for a long time. It was all very, very effective at, you know, like telling emotional stories and like, you know, giving every set of characters a chance to have their moment.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Like even a cheesy musical, which I adore, Evil Dead, the musical, has that fucking song Houseware's Employee where Ash is talking about finding true love.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, she's going to die because it's Evil Dead. But it's still like an effective song when it's done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That and poor Evil Ed doesn't talk the entire fucking play. Finally gets a song and he's killed 20 seconds into the song. The song's over. It's part of the bit too, but yeah.
Yeah.
I
think part of my question is mired in the fact that I don't want to speak for our own here. I will speak for myself. But I'm also going to generalize this for men, and we're not going to get to Barbie today. You are 100% correct.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I think that's a entirely different show all in to itself.
I'd be fine with that.
Although, what did someone call it? I think it was on TikTok. Someone was like, let's talk about Barbie, AKA Black Panther for white bitches.
Yep. Nope. I have that reel saved on Instagram where it's like, I would like you to look at the parallels between Barbie and Black Panther. They are there. They are outstanding. I will send you the link. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So yeah. I keep finding that as a man in this particular society, and I try to be as enlightened as I can. I try to be as forward-thinking as I can. I still have biases and toxic masculinity and my own issues all wrapped up in there with being a man. And that I find that popular media, specifically musicals and movies with strong emotions and strong topics, are the way that I allow myself in public to release said emotions. I sat through Barbie crying. I cried through most of that movie. I cried through most of, and upon re-listening to the songs of Subspace Rhapsody, I could not keep it together during Uhura's solo. Because this started coming out the last time we were talking about Trek, because we were talking about Tawny Newsom and Sela's scene where they're Uhura is talking with Mariner and talking about the legacy of Uhura, and we brought up Dana Thompson. That all hit me during that scene. All I could think about was Dana.
She would have that fucking was loved this
all
episode.
I could think about. And
that's all right. I did this. Yeah. I just can't look at you because then I'll start crying.
Yeah.
And I can't. I have to be able to run a board.
I still can't process it aloud. It's so hard. Losing her was fucking insane.
It's because no one got a warning.
No. We didn't get to say goodbye. She was just gone.
Yeah.
She was just fucking gone.
I remember waking up to the text from a friend and it was like, she's gone. And the first thing I thought was like, oh, because I knew she had depression issues. So I went right to like, oh, please tell me she didn't.
No.
Yeah. That wasn't it.
Just so that people know for a matter of record, Dana Thompson passed away from an aneurysm. Like it was quick.
It was painless.
She did not suffer.
Yeah.
But it surprised all of us.
And it's been years now.
Yeah. It's 2019.
Six?
2019.
Oh. That's
okay. She died in 2019.
Oh, okay.
So it is not without a certain level of melancholy that I watch every episode of Strange New Worlds. Because all it does is remind me of her.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can think about is how much she would love this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But this is what I mean. This is what I want to give everybody the emotional permission to feel these things. Go enjoy the media that you love and feel things and figure out how that then maps over the story of your life, in which you are the main character. You are also the background character for everyone else's life, but you're the main character of yours. Go feel things. It's fine. It hurts. It sucks. But when it's great, it's great.
We can wrap it a little bit with something a little.
That would be great.
Because I have to check other things while we're going, and yeah. I saw a meme. It's from Wrath of Khan. It's after the first attack. And Kirk is, Khan, if it's me you want, allow myself to be beamed aboard. Spare my crew. I'm the one who broke your great-granddaughter's heart. Khan's all, what? What? They are going to have to deal with that somehow. And I know I'm not like someone who's like rigid adherence to canon.
Yeah.
But like in Space Seed, like they don't know. Like, once they find out that his last name is Noonien Singh, they act like, oh, we're, you know. They got to do something.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and let them play that up as Kirk was playing chess with Khan the entire time.
Sure.
So it behooved him to let him know less about what he knew.
Right. And there's just, like, a few things. I have to go back and rewatch now first seasons 1 and 2. If Uhura has ever been in the same room as T'Pring. Because in a mock time, she says, she's lovely, Spock. Who is she? Like, it's the, and he says, T'Pring, my wife, opening credits.
They've never met.
I don't think they've ever met. And that's got to be intentional.
Yep.
She knows Pike.
Well, no, she knows the crew, but I don't.
And maybe.
You mean T'Pring?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's only interacted with Pike, and she knows who Christine Chapel is. No, Uhura was on the
bridge. Uhura was on the bridge during the Serene Squall.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. That's been a while.
Well, I hope they don't know matter again. Remember in original series when Uhura gets zapped by the Nomad probe, mm-hmm. and it wipes her brain, but they are able to retrain her by the end of the episode?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was magic.
Well... TOS error writing wasn't always the strongest. And good. Then...
Norm, I'm glad you're going to therapy. I need to be doing the same. I am not.
I need this to go back to it just because I can't afford
it. I'm no longer
it.
The last person I know who doesn't have therapy.
Oh. I just need to go back, but I can't afford it.
Yep.
I mean, that's literally it. I can't afford it.
That's our healthcare system.
Oh, you know what? I'll share some things with you because they sent me off with a bunch of resources. I'm also in between people.
Okay. I'll check it out. Sorry, I keep laughing at that.
That's all right.
I'm the one who broke it. Greg Gunther's hot. And I loved it because in my head, the way they've done the screen cap, Khan's like, what? Kirk's what? Like, what? Maybe laugh.
It's Klingon's fun. Rapping.
Klingon's rapping? No, boy bands.
Was it boy bands? It felt more of like a hip hop thing to me.
I think it was more
really?
Of
a... I felt it was more K-pop.
That's what I was. I was like, "Oh, this is BTS."
Because they are synchronous dancing background dudes too. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll go K-pop.
Yeah.
Before all,
that's what I meant, though.
Yeah, that's what BTS.
BTS is a boy band, but it's K-pop also. They're still a boy band.
Sure.
Yes, but no,
but they're different.
Yeah. Yes. No, I saw it as like
American boy bands. I know. Korean boy bands.
Yeah. No, I saw them as like BTS.
Yeah.
With a little bit of old school Bone Thugs and Harmony.
A little bit
rhyming,
Well, that's what I meant by like
the whole like, what do you got to do? I was like, oh man,
like an older hip hop kind of a, or well, no, I think they're more R&B.
Why are you always calling
when you got your drama?
I know.
I wanted more of that. I wish that they had gone longer.
Well, as Una said, no one wants that. No one wants Klingon singing.
No.
I believe that the internet begs to differ.
Yes. And also, it's well established that Klingons love their opera.
They also do. That, I mentioned that too. I'm like, but they love music.
Klingons love singing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe they're annoyed that they were turned into a K-pop band. Like, that did not feel honorable.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what they were mad about, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe they should have had a more operatic in the original Klingon performance.
We all would have expected that. None of us expected K-pop.
Right. You're right. Well, and also then they wouldn't have had a reason to be mad.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Yeah, K-pop was better.
Sometimes it just be that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I totally forgot. We are going to get an animated Strange New Worlds in this coming season of Lower Decks.
Yep.
These old scientists, they're getting sent to the Lower Decks era.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lower Decks this season has an episode called These Old Scientists.
Yeah, it was always meant to be a two-part crossover in the two shows.
Okay, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
I still love Mbenga at the end of that when they're animated. What the hell is this? But next week, though, shit looks intense.
Yep.
I haven't watched.
Again, I'm not watching previews. All I know is it's called Hegemony. That is all I need to know.
Yeah, the hegemony.
Hegemony.
Gorn hegemony. I love the Gorn. When I was doing my little fan fiction way back in the day during, you know, early Patreon days, I made the Gorn like my primary thing.
Because they're the one Trek villain that we really have not expanded on. Them and the Tholians.
Yeah.
I actually think
Enterprise did a pretty interesting thing with the Tholians.
It did.
So did the IDW comic when they did Year 5.
It really did.
Yeah.
I really like Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Bright Eyes was a Tholian. He was a Tholian child that becomes the first member of Starfleet.
Who named him that?
Uhura.
Mm-hmm. And it had like Gary Seven. It had the whole...
Yeah, it was...
It was the greatest hits of TOS era in a comic book form, basically. Mm-hmm.
Bright Eyes took the name Bright Eyes because Uhura called him that, and he's like, none of you can pronounce my name. I'm aware of that. Go ahead and call me Bright Eyes because I like her.
Gotcha. It caught my attention because Bright Eyes is from Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I just saw another
And then meme. The musician who took his name from Planet of the Apes.
Something I wouldn't have liked. TOS era Christine Chapel Spock. Why don't we try dating again? We were great together. No. I cannot forgive you for breaking up with me and Song while Captain Kirk's brother and Uhura sang back up in the fancy bar that we used to have on this ship. We should wrap up the show, though.
Yeah, we should.
Had a lot of fun. Ended on a high note.
Are we going to have a guest?
I'm going to try to get I'm trying to get Martin on for next week to talk about the way of things.
Cool.
There was a cool development, and then it became really shitty.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So it had a huge backing and we were all really excited.
Mm-hmm.
They got removed for violating terms of service because one of the things that certain people do use bots for is they back projects to launder money. So
super.
So like 10K worth was canceled.
That's cool.
So we're back to like $3,000 on a $36,000 budget.
So then if real people, not bots, would like to back that, where do they go?
That's a good question. I was not prepared for that.
We'll reblog that. If you follow us on social media, we'll reblog all of those links.
Right.
Easy peasy.
And then wish me luck. I think either today or tomorrow is the last day of Ringo voting. So if you're a comics professional in any capacity, I think it's whether you're in marketing, editorial, creative, journalism, doesn't matter. You were allowed to vote in the Ringos. So vote for Season of the Bruja as best series.
That would be great.
Yeah, because we're up against fucking Saga and Something is Killing the Children.
Oof.
For best series.
Oh,
not new series. Okay.
No, I know. They don't have a new series one.
Hmm.
Oh.
The nice. Eisners do, but not the Ringos.
Fair.
So.
I'm not going to... Okay.
Yeah, I have... I have qualms, but
I'm certainly not going to throw shades on the Ringos because I loved the work of Mike Waringo, and he was taken way too soon.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Before I talk about any more dead people.
I know. I'm Aaron Duran, whose camera keeps freezing.
I'm Bean Arena, still green.
And I'm still K-Bosh, Johnny. I'm going to be over here weeping.
We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.